Shalom, everyone, and this week we are celebrating the special magical Parashat Pinchas. Parashat Pinchas can be found in the book of Numbers, Bamidbar, chapter 25, verse 10. It is a very, very famous parasha, a very powerful parasha, although you read the parasha, they're not too many amazing stories over it, except from the first few verses that are the completion of the story of the previous parasha, Parashat Balak. And it goes as follows, Vayedaber Adonai Moshe Lemo, and God speaks to Moses, saying, verse 10, chapter 25, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen ishiv et chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kanot kinati b'tocham. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, the HaKohen, he brought back my wrath from upon the children of Israel, bringing the jealousy, my jealousy, within in their midst. And because of that, I did not extinguish the children of Israel. And therefore, I'm giving him my covenant, peace. So here we have, like this is, if you didn't read the previous parasha, you have no idea what we're talking about. That's why maybe in the biblical, the European division of the Torah, this is only verse 10, because from the point of view of the story, logically, this is just the end of the story, Parashat Balak. We end Parashat Balak, the book of Numbers, chapter 25, with the story that Balaam realizes he cannot destroy the Israelites from outside. He tried three times to curse them. He tried to do his best, and all he came only blessing instead of cursing. Although he knew, you know, when you study deep Kabbalah, you realize he was not a charlatan. He was not a fake. He really knew what he was doing. He really wanted to connect to the core of judgment in the universe and direct it upon the Israelites. And no one is perfect. Something unexpected, unnatural, uncommon, something that happened only once in the history of humanity, changed the network, changed the structure of the universe, and Balaam was shocked that when he experienced that. However, what did really change? So the commentators are saying that when Balaam was cursing, he did not, again, we have to admit, he was authentic, Balaam. He was the great wizard of darkness, but he was authentic. He was not, because otherwise, you know, you want to curse, just invent any curse you want. Be creative. Curse them. Why didn't he curse them? He knew he's going to be punished because he's going to be disgraced. That's what happened to him. He's still blessed. Why? He did not really invent the words. Otherwise, these words were not written in the Torah as great prophecies. He tried to channel judgment. And nobody is perfect. So judgment can hurt anyone. He really knew how to connect to the core judgment of the universe, as I said before. However, why do we need that judgment? That's the base idea of our parasha, and it has an answer to a lot of questions, especially the greatest political questions that the world is discussing right now. And I'll explain. You have to remember that there is a goal for the universe. The goal is that we humans must complete our souls as we come to this reality. In order to complete our soul, we must learn how to activate the three column system. Three column system means, that's a basic idea of the Tree of Life. On the right column, you have the power of loving kindness, chesed. Abraham is the chariot of that force. That force of loving kindness is essential for the existence of anything in the universe. It's essential, it's a must, it's not enough. For the universe to exist, you need also judgment. Left column, that is represented by the chariot Isaac, the patriarch Isaac, Yitzchak Avinu. However, these two, when they are there by just themselves, it's an ongoing war. Logically, they cannot live together. You cannot, it's like loving kindness and judgment in the same time. This is two opposites. But we know in electricity, you need to have the plus, you must have the minus, and it doesn't work unless you have something, a resistor, a filament, something there in between that prevents them from destroying each other. It's called the central column. This is the power that can bring them both together into a third force that is called synthesis. This is basically the secret of how the universe works. When you have these two, with these three forces, that's called a triangle. A triangle, which means right, left, and center. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet. Giving, sharing, and also judgment. And mercy, that is the synthesis of both of them. It has to be in the spiritual realm. It has to be manifested in the physical realm too. That's why you have the Star of David as a symbol that is basically two triangles. One is the upper three forces, and two is when these three forces are manifesting. And it's called Merkava chariot because you have to put them together. You have assembled together the upper triangle, the lower triangle, the synthesis in the spiritual realm and the synthesis in the physical realm. Both have to be. And that is the basic idea of the Tree of Life. Without understanding that, you have no idea what the Tree of Life is about. So therefore, when the universe exists on the light force of the Creator, which is endless loving kindness. Olam chesed yibaneh. The world can be built only upon chesed, loving kindness. However, without judgment, things can go very wrong. So, when Balaam was trying to connect to what? To the judgment. It's the Midrash is saying, like, in order to balance the world, the Creator injects the universe with judgment, like a small injection once in a while, like tzt, something like this. I don't want to go into it too deep, but we have to understand the universe cannot live on loving kindness only. Compassion, loving, unconditional love, caring, no judgment, don't judge anyone, just love them unconditionally. This is impossible. You need to put limitations to the judgment. Like the water of the ocean, this is chesed, but there must be beaches of sand or rocks to limit the water in the oceans, so they don't flood the earth and eliminate life. Okay? So, this idea is very, very important to understand. A lot of people think that being spiritual means unconditional love without any limitation. That really, the perfect society is a society that has gives space to everyone with unconditional love. And if somebody has a problem, unconditional love will heal everything and solve every problem. Wrong. It doesn't work this way. So, for the universe to exist, it exists on chesed, on God's unconditional love and light. However, in order to balance it, there is also an injection of judgment, that without that judgment, everything will become just fluid. And can you imagine everything becomes fluid? Every cell is fluid. What makes it a cell? The cell has a membrane that separates between what's inside the cell and outside the cell. If the membranes of the cells stop doing that, then there's no life. No life. Every life will stop from existing. You need to make judgment, which means this is the boundary. You need to make boundaries. Society, you're driving on the street. Somebody has to make the decision. Are we driving on the right or driving on the left? What if a lot of people don't like to drive on the left? They want to drive on the right or the other one. Okay? Somebody has to decide. Some countries, you drive on the right, some on the left. You can't drive on which side you care, you want that moment, because that's going to be terrible. So there must be some boundaries. People go to work, they make a living. Somebody comes to your home and says, "I'm poor, give me whatever you have." Why? "I'm poor, and love others as you love yourself. Give it to me. Give whatever you have. You know what? I'm not going to take everything. I'm going to take a lot of it." Okay? Sounds amazing, right? Everybody shares and everybody's equal. Whenever the people try to do that, it always came out horrible. Why? If everybody can come and take whatever I have, you know what? They leave me enough so I don't starve. Let's say people have no incentive of creating fortune. And every country that applied that rule stopped creating fortune and basically had to go bankrupt. Why? You need to have boundaries. You need to have, but that separates people. What can we do? People are not the same, and you need to have boundaries between or among people. This is mine, this is yours, that has to exist. This is the base of every successful society. So, when we speak about those forces, we have to understand. So, the Midrash is saying, the legend is saying, not just that God is giving us the power to do chesed, to dwell on chesed, to connect to loving kindness, and to exist on that, the Creator is giving us also the power to create that judgment, in which up to here, you can't cross that line. You have to create a line. So Balaam knew that secret. So say the sages. He knew how to connect to the core force of judgment and to direct it on people. Usually, if that was concentrated, it killed them. Why? No one is perfect. When you arouse the judgment within someone, because no one is perfect, they simply cease to exist. Because the judgment, when it's concentrated, then it's over. Judgment is horrible. Chesed, loving kindness by itself, is dangerous. Real life is to learn how to synthesize between the two. Real life is about healing. Healing is about the knowledge, the wisdom, the magic of taking the chesed and the judgment and creating peace between them. Peace does not mean that you shut down both of them or one of them. Peace, the real peace, is shalom. Again, shalom and peace are not the same. We know certain words in different languages, they cover different meanings. When you want to say in Hebrew peace, you use the word shalom. But the word shalom is much more broad by meaning than the word peace in English. In Hebrew, you have the word peace. Pei Yud Samech, the Shoresh. These three letters, Pei Yud Samech, peace. It's a Hebrew word also. It means to make people not fight with each other. Lefayes. The moment they don't fight with each other, they went pius. They don't have yet shalom. Shalom comes from the word shalem. Whole. Complete. When things are complete, when the loving kindness, chesed, and the judgment, gevura, din, are becoming synthesized into one whole, that you can't see the difference, it's a third force. And the third force is shalom. Shalom is about having enough love for everybody, on one hand, without encroaching to anyone's safe space, in which you don't destroy the chesed, you don't destroy the judgment, the gvura, in order to create shalom. You give each one the space, on one hand. On the other hand, you make them work together in synergy. This is shalom. Pinchas, he created it. How? So as we said, Balaam is trying to curse the Israelites. He's trying to access that pure judgment and to redirect it towards the Israelites. Something happened in the universe. The Israelites were too, let's say, too strong, too important for the universe to extinguish. And therefore, the judgment was shut down. So what happened? There was only chesed, only loving kindness. When Balaam realized that, instead of being ashamed and go back home, he goes to Balak and say, I want to tell you a secret. I want to explain to you what happened. I know exactly how to connect to the core force of judgment. I know how to direct it in a concentrated way on someone, and that will kill anyone that I concentrate it on. I did that. There's no judgment in the universe right now. That means no one can say no. Right now, it's all about make love, no war. That's it. This is right now, this slogan is shining in the universe, and there's no way to stop it. If you take your daughters, your most beautiful daughters, and you send them, says Balaam to Balak and the Midianites, you send the most beautiful daughters, and with the slogan, make love, no war. Let's all of us, we all humans, we all the children of God, let us share love. Let us share culture. Let us share our traditions. Everyone has a space, and we all worship everything. And that's how they came to the, so the, those girls went to the camp of the Israelites, and they used that slogan. And the Israelites had no judgment. They could not judge. They could not say, it's impossible. It says, do not have other gods. But they do not, does not exist right now. You cannot awaken judgment. You cannot make judgment. So they were seduced by the princes of Moab and Midian to worship their gods too. Share gods. There's no judgment. Everything is okay. Every culture is great. We should, every person comes to you and says, no, give me your money. Why not? He knows what he's saying. He probably needs it. Give it to him. There is, and the second thing, what happens when you have no judgment? You have free sex. So the whole camp of Israel became idol worship and whatever. When you have something like this, everybody was making love. The result was horrific, because the whole system of purity, the whole system of life collapsed. The tree of life connection had collapsed. And the plague started. Plagues start usually when there are no boundaries. This is what the Zohar is teaching us. This is Rashi is saying that. It's like, this is a known thing. Why? No boundaries. The life force of human beings cannot, you know, when you lose, as I said, the membranes, when you lose the immune system, what is the immune system? Making boundaries. No one can destroy, go against the rules. If there is any kind of a, let's say, what is the immune system? Somebody comes into the human system, the human, any kind of body of any creature, and he says, let's make peace. I want to settle in your place, and now everybody will follow my tune. And let me do whatever I want to. What's the immune system about? Judgment. No, you can't. This is our system. It's working for a while. You're not going to bring in your rules, and you have to stay outside or simply stop existing. Either it's bacteria, viruses, whatever. Parasites, what are all of these are? They come from the outside and they want to take what you've got. And the immune system have to say, no, you can't. Or one cell says, you know what, till now I was serving everybody else. From now on, everybody will serve me. That's called cancer. Okay? The immune system in a healthy human body knows how to identify that cancerous cell and destroy it before we even knew it. It happens all the time in our bodies, which means you have to learn how to say no. You have to learn how to awaken judgment in order to stay healthy, in order to stay functional, in order to be able to pay your dues, to pay your bills, and to continue having a successful life. You know, if you're working really honestly and you put the effort, you can't just let everything that belongs to you slip over to anyone who's asking for it. But that judgment disappeared. The plague is killing thousands of people. And everybody is in shock, total shock, including Moses. Nobody wants to know, nobody knows what to do. And it says very clearly, Moses and the whole leaders of the nation, that's, they're totally in shock. And it says in Balak, chapter, the book of Numbers, chapter 25, V'nei ish mibnei Yisrael ba v'yakrev elechav et ha-midyanit l'inei Moshe. And one of the people of Israel takes a Midianite princess, Cozbi Batsur, and he brings her in front of Moses and the whole nation of the whole congregation of Israel. And everybody is standing there crying, Vehema Bochim Petach Oel Moed. They see their whole life project falling apart. They can't do anything but crying. That's also chesed, crying. One person alone from the whole congregation of Israel realized what's going on. Not Moses, not Elazar, a Kohen, the son of Aaron, who was the high priest. Neither of all the great sages of Israel. One person, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. He realized what has to be done. He realized that the judgment, somebody pushed off on the judgment button, and somebody has to reawaken that button. And he knew exactly what to do. It was weird, illogical, but he knew what to do. He took a spear and he killed Cozbi, Batsur, and Zimri ben Salu in the midst of their act in front of everybody else. He did the right thing and he awakened, reawakened the judgment. And suddenly the plague stopped. Everything came back to balance. So that was the story at the end of Parashat Balak. So Parashat Pinchas is about bringing back that shalom, that wholeness, that what is called health and healing. What is health and healing? That you have a space for the chesed, for the loving kindness. You have a space for the judgment, the boundaries. And you have both of them synergized in one complete harmony, which is called shalom. And that's why it says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Hashiv et Chamatim al Bnei Israel. Pinchas, he is the only one who basically removed the disaster and he re-established shalom in the universe that the Creator created. But he did it manually. He was the only one who could do it. And he was willing to pay with his life. The story was that Zimri was one of the greatest leaders of the tribe of Shimon. The tribe of Shimon that were known as very they were Shimon, if you understand, you study the Zohar. Shimon, every tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel symbolize another force. Shimon is the Taurus, ox, the judgment, like the pure judgment. Killing Zimri meant killing Shimon, meant awakening the judgment of Shimon, and Pinchas knew he's going to die. And he left, I said, I'm dying anyway. Don't you mind? I'm leaving. And he left. He was already dead. He had a clinical death. So says the Zohar. However, his soul was returned with two other souls, Nadav and Avihu, his two uncles. And now he was a different person. So what do we have over here in this parasha? We have here the power of re-establishing shalom. Shalom is any kind of harmony and peace. If we are talking about a social state, which means of a community, family, a nation, nations, it's all about shalom. Peace is about not making everybody following the same rule. Peace is about leaving everyone, giving them their space in one condition. They don't encroach into somebody else's space, which means you live and you let live and you cooperate and you synergize. When we're talking about shalom, how do we mean shalom? That everyone, as a person, as an individual, as a community, you could have the community of the city of no matter what. You can say also the community of the shoemakers, the community of the guild of the sailors. Each group of humans is busy doing what they are good at doing while supporting the rest of communities around the world with free trade. Simply, it's called free commerce and trade. You do not encroach, you do not try to destroy somebody else's business. You're trying to do your best and to cooperate with everybody else. Basically, this is the idea of Mashiach. What is Mashiach? This is it. Mashiach means shalom. When everybody is doing their job, and what is the meaning of doing their job? Each person is doing their best to support the rest of humanity with the gift that each person received from birth, which means what I can give to the world, nobody else can give. If I don't give it, the world will be missing that. So instead of being busy finding what's wrong with others and blaming others, so the world is not really successful, be busy. What is that I can give to the rest of the world? However, there need to be judgment. You need sometimes to put people in their place when they are really going out of their place, so the whole world is not falling apart. So Pinchas, he re-established that force of the judgment that support the chesed and creates shalom. And therefore, it says in verse 12, chapter 25, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen השיב את חמתי מעל בני ישראל בקנות קנאתי. That's the verse we read before, Numbers 25:11. Pinchas, he simply stopped the wrath. But if you look at the word Pinchas, in the Torah, the letter Yud, you see the on the top right, you see the arrow, the blue arrow pointing at the letter Yud. The Yud over here is very small relatively to the other Yuds in this text. That's how it has to be written in the Torah, a small, tiny Yud. What happens when the Yud is the smallest? This is the smallest letter in the whole Torah. You have much more white light around. What happens when a person basically shuts down his ego? He's me, 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 what about me? This is exactly what Pinchas did. How? He killed two people. That is judgment. Yeah, but he did it not because he wanted to kill people. He did it because he wanted to do what he was supposed to do. He just gave more space for the expansion of the light of the Creator. This is how he knew exactly what to do. 10 miracles happened. The letter Yud is also 10. 10 miracles happened at that moment. Those miracles that happened at that moment basically did few things. Once they stopped the plague, they stopped the falling apart of the nation of Israel and the rest of the world. If Pinchas did not do what he did, the whole world will fall apart. He reestablished the judgment, and the whole world became a whole all over again. Balance all over again. Only when we retract ourselves into the minimum possible, just in order to let the light of God to come in, then the light comes in with the exact knowledge of what to do. That's exactly what Pinchas did. And that's why there's a small yud over here. It's a small yud, but the white over here, the white light, which when the Zohar is saying, basically, how the Torah is a physical thing. But no, we know whatever is above, so below. How is the Torah above? The Torah above is, and that's how the Torah revealed to Moses and the rest of Israel on Mount Sinai is black letters over a white light. Black letters over a white light. That's why in the real Torah parchment, the white light is represented by the parchment. The black letters are the engraving in the light. They are the vessels. The letters are the vessels. The Hebrew letters are vessels. The light is the white around the letters. When they have the yud, like contracting itself, it allows more light to come in. Many times we need to contract ourselves in order to allow the light to come in with the solution, with the power, with the answer, with the wisdom. That's what Pinchas did. He was not thinking that he's going to be a Kohen. He did not think about, he was sure that he's going to die. And he didn't care. He was willing to give his life for saving the nation of Israel and the rest of the universe from falling apart. He knew what has to be done, and he didn't have any time to any thought about what about me? There was no about me. It was all about the others. That's why the yud over here is small. But there's another magic over here. The next verse, Lachen emor hineni noten lo et briti shalom, and therefore, tell him, just saying there's a mistake over here. Apologize for that. Therefore, it says, I'm giving him my covenant, shalom. Okay. Sorry, again, a mistake. I have to fix it so you understand what's going on. Okay, I hope it's good over now. Okay, so it says, therefore, tell him, God is telling Moses, I am giving him my covenant, shalom. And here, if you look at the word shalom, you would see that the letter Vav, that's what I was busy fixing, the letter Vav is broken into a Yud and the bottom of the Vav. So really what's written over here is shleim, shalom. Shalom, but it's not written shalom. The letter Vav is broken. So in most Torahs around the world, it's like, this is how you write the Torah. Usually, if a letter is broken, the Torah is not kosher. Here, you need to break the letter Vav. So how do you do it? The scribe writes the letter Vav, and then he scraps with a razor. He scrapes that line that you can see in front of you in the letter Vav. So the letter Vav is broken. Why is it? So basically, the word shalom is a centerpiece of the whole parasha because we are talking about how to create shalom. Shalom means health, healing, harmony, good business, success. World peace, world harmony, whatever is good, that's what shalom means. Okay? Now, to read the explanation for that, okay. Balatuin, one of the big famous commentators, wrote this way. Why the Vav, it's called Vav Ktia, a broken Vav. Why is it broken? And he says, he's quoting from there's a Midrash in Kiddushin, that God is saying, I'm giving him a complete gift. Shalom is shalem, complete, a whole gift of 10 gifts in the temple. So we know this number, the number 10 over here is important. So, but we also had a hint in the word Pinchas, the small yud, that there's something about that yud. Yud is the number 10. And when you say something is complete, what do you say? Oh, this is 10. This is 10. Pinchas was not a Kohen. He was the grandson of the high priest, but he was not a Kohen. When Aaron and his sons were sanctified to become Kohanim, Pinchas was born already. He did not get sanctified and he was not officiated to be a Kohen. He was not supposed to be a Kohen, although he was a grandson of the Kohen and a son of the Kohen. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Elazar, his father, was the high priest. Pinchas received the high priesthood by his own benefit. Why did Aaron get the priesthood? Because he was the man of loving kindness, more than anyone else. Here, the loving kindness of Pinchas was so different. It was not just about loving everybody and caring for everybody and smiling to everyone. He did that by killing two people, giving his life away. That was a stormy kind of loving kindness to show us how healing is not always just about compassion and loving kindness. Healing needs sometimes to be fiery. An example. A lot of research shows, I think that the first one that really gave it published a lot was Deepak Chopra a few decades ago, I think, maybe in the 90s, that when he started to report about people that were healed, they were sick with cancer, all kinds of terrible diseases, but when they got into real excitement, like fiery excitement about life, and the disease was gone. Fiery excitement, in Hebrew, excitement is itlahavut. Why I'm saying fiery excitement? Because itlahavut, the word itlahavut, like getting excited about something in Hebrew, the shoresh, the root of the word is lahav, fire, flame. There's another word in modern Hebrew. It's more like a more like slang, but it's lidalek. When you say somebody, I'm really excited with it, nidlakti. What is the shoresh over here? Delek, fuel and fire. Again, healing is not always just by we love everybody, it's harmony and quiet and hugging and everything is peaceful. No, the healing power over here. That, as I said, Deepak Chopra, I heard him talking about it in the 90s, early 90s. And then you find it in many other descriptions of medical research. When you have that excitement of life, that fire of living, it's not coming out of anger. It's not a guess. It's for. It's not negating anyone. It's for. It's about, I'm excited about me loving and caring about life. And it means no, but thank you, no, to all kinds of thoughts of despair, hatred, upset, victimization, and stuff like this. No. No. But thank you, no. So this is a very important secret of healing. Healing of society, healing of the human body. In order to heal, you have to learn to say no. Not because you're against, because you are for. Because you're for justice. You're for functioning. You're for the real thing that works. You're not for a fake love. Oh, let's accept everybody the way they are. Accept everybody, the thieves, the crooks, the haters. It doesn't work. You need to have justice. And justice is about everyone gets exactly what they deserve, whatever belongs to them. When you have a society in which you cross the law of do not steal, because the people steal, the miserable, the victims, and that's why you should let them steal, because if they stole, they probably need it. You destroy the membranes. You destroy the boundaries. You destroy the judgment that allows life to continue. It's not justice. And when there's no justice, nobody cares anymore, because the intricate structure of life is being destroyed. Everything will fall apart in free love and free everything. You just do whatever. It's not really love. It's about whims. It's about selfishness under disguise of love. Yes, it's all about love others as you love yourself, when it comes to what? That everybody will love me. But what about you getting out of your comfort zone and you do something for somebody else? This is judgment. Why judgment? When I say enough thinking about myself and get out of my comfort zone and do something for somebody else, this is judgment. This is saying no to selfishness, saying no to limitation, saying no to stupidity, saying no to egotism. This is judgment. It's not comfortable. Or it's very comfortable when you are in entitlement. But why all of those people that are into entitlement? It starts sweet and it ends always very bitter. Because it's against the rules of the universe. He cannot be a taker. When you're just a taker, without boundaries, without paying in return, without returning light, without transforming the desire to receive into sharing. You need judgment in order to transform the selfishness into sharing. So let's see what the Baal HaTorim continues to say. He's saying something very, very interesting. He says, this vav is broken. Because Pinchas is Eliyahu. Pinchas is Elijah the prophet. Pinchas never died. He lived for 700 more years. And then he took off in a chariot of fire. He became so godly, people stopped calling him Pinchas, and they called him Eliyahu Hanavi. If you know Hebrew, Eliyahu Hanavi is the two names of God, of Chesed. Eliyahu starts with Aleph Lamed, and then you have Yud Kei Vav Kei in Eliyahu HaNavi, the Tetragrammaton. He became an angel that cannot die. He went up to with the chariot of fire, and he's coming anytime he is being needed. When Rabbi Shimon had to bring the secret of the Zohar to the world and he was in the cave, who came to him every day to teach him? Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet. Who comes every time there's a Brit Milah? Brit, circumcision, the covenant. Every time there's a Brit Milah, circumcision, there's a chair for Elijah the prophet, and he's being invited because he comes to join the celebration. Every time we celebrate Passover, we put not a chair, but a cup. In Hebrew, chair is a kiseh, a cup is kos. We need to put a vessel to reveal the power of Elijah the prophet. to bring what? Peace. So what's here? Balaturim continues. And he says as follows. It says, when a time will come, and the messianic era will come, Elijah will come. But it says Eliyah, without a vav. When it says about the redemption, it says about Jacob. Jacob. V'zachati et briti Yaakov. Again, the covenant of Jacob. That's in the book of Leviticus. Okay? In Parashat Bechukotai. V'zachati et briti Yaakov. I remember my covenant Jacob. But Jacob has an additional vav. And what is Jacob? Central column. Jacob took that vav, says the Baal HaTorim, from Elijah, as a pawn till Mashiach comes, and he will redeem v'yigal ad sheyavoa Mashiach v'yigal et banav. V'zehu yagel Yaakov ismach Israel. Ismach will rejoice is the same letters as Mashiach. The Messianic era is when the vav will return. And then Shalom is the Messiah. So here we have the secret of the Messianic era. When the Messianic era will come, when people will realize that yes, you need to love, you need to care, you need compassion, but you need justice to be done. You cannot give people just because they are victims and are miserable, you cannot take what belongs to others who worked very hard for that and give what they have to the ones who don't have. That's not justice. Compassion cannot solve the problem. You need what is fair, and it says very clearly, do not steal. By any means, you cannot transgress that. Yeah. You can have charity. You have some people have so much more. They can give charity. They can give tithing, whatever, to help the poor. There's a structure of society, but you cannot steal. You cannot take it from people without their consent. Okay? This is encroaching all the limitations, all the rules. You cannot do that. You cannot have free love. What do I mean free love? Which means people get married and then people say, no, I want to have open marriage, free love. First of all, marriage is a covenant. It's a brit. What does it mean? It's a commitment for certain values. And that means, first of all, I'm committing to my spouse so we can build together a household. We can raise our children together. We should trust each other. We should cover each other's back. The moment I do not keep the covenant, what does it mean? When my back is not covered, I'm not complete anymore. I cannot function anymore. And therefore, you broke the covenant. It's not about loving, but I want to love everyone. Why just loving one person? No, it's about the covenant. It's about the commitment. I have you behind me to, you know, to cover my back so I can do whatever I can to share with you and to share with society. You're not covering my back. I'm not there. I can't function anymore. The covenant, just the idea, there's a commitment, and commitment means love and judgment in the same thing. This is shalom. And that's why Parashat Pinchas is always being read in the beginning of the 3 weeks of judgment, starting this Tuesday, 17th of Tammuz. For 3 weeks in the ninth of Av, these are the most judgmental days of the whole year. And as it says, God is always sending the remedy before the plague. If you find yourself in any kind of a plague, any kind of disaster, look around, you'll find the remedy. God always prepared the remedy before. Why those days are so judgmental? Because the powers, the forces acting in the universe are very powerful. It's very easy to lose it. So, how do you take charge? Love, kindness, sharing, charity, patience on one hand, judgment, knowing your place and knowing how to put the boundaries. At the same time, respect, love, and boundaries at the same time. This is the secret of healing the individual, the family, the community, the country, the planet. You cannot without it. The healing forces are here. Therefore, how do we see that? We see that the next thing is weird. We have the story that, we need to take revenge. Revenge, you're not allowed to take revenge, is it? No, the Torah is for revenge. When somebody just broke the rules, you need to bring the balance back. Revenge is not hating somebody. The revenge over here, it says nakom. The word is very clear. Okay, so that is in the book of Numbers 25:17. Midian, the nation of Midian, that they send their daughters with the daughters of the Moabites. But Midian, the shoresh of the word Midian is din, judgment. Okay, you have to destroy them. You have to beat them up. Why? Why? Because they simply broke the rules. They came and got you out of balance. Why? Were they entitled for that? Did you attack them? No. Did you take anything from them? No. So in that case, somebody has to put everyone back into place. The Midianites had to be finished because they broke the rules. Who can be the policeman that is going to punish anyone, any nation that encroaches to somebody else's place? Sometimes you have America with a big stick, and sometimes America don't like to do it anymore. So somebody else has to do it. Okay? That time, the Midianites attacked the Israelites, and they had to be, put in place. Then comes another part. Vayechay, and then the next thing, Vayechay HaMagefa. Okay, just before that. And then there's another story in the book of, in the same parasha, the book of Numbers 27:1. And it's a story about the five daughters of Tzlofchad, which again, Tzlofchad, that was the name of the father. He was executed because he simply did not respect the boundaries between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, Shabbat and weekdays. And he just basically wanted to break the boundaries. So he will have to be executed. He had five daughters. And by the way, Tzlofchad is Tzel Pachad, the shadow of death. That was the name of that person. So we realized it's all about messages. Why five daughters? Why do we have to learn about the five daughters? And the five daughters, the Zohar is teaching us, this is the secret of the five final letters in the Hebrew alphabet. In the Hebrew alphabet, there are five letters that when they come, they're placed at the end of the word, the shape of the letter is changed. These five letters have a lot of power because it means the final letters, the letters that are at the end, which means what is end? Again, boundaries, judgment, putting an end to something. The numerical value of all five letters is 280. Power, an ox. Judgment, if you remember about the red heifer. It's about the five judgments that in order to be healthy, you need to keep them. And what happens? The five daughters of Tzlofchad come to Moses and they say, The laws of inheritance speak only about men. What about us? We are five daughters that are no sons. We get nothing? What is this about? Judgment is about awakening from below. The five daughters of Tzlofchad, they do not come to complain. They come to say, we don't believe that God is going to throw us under the bus and leave us without anything. So because we believe in God and because we stand for our rights as women, and what is God's answer? They're right. They should get inheritance too. Because who is going to give them anything? They're going not, you can't stay with nothing. You know, if you have, so basically, to make a story short, what is there to teach us? When we ask for our rights, we stand for our rights, not because we want somebody else's, but because we believe that God has something for us too. This is a healthy judgment. It means that, yes, I failed, whatever. Maybe our father failed. But I believe that God is having something for me too. This is not selfishness. This is a healthy judgment of self-esteem. It's not ego. It's a good ego. Without that ego, you can never achieve anything. Let's say you fail. You make a big mistake. So, are you supposed to go around with guilt all the time? Who's going to benefit from that? Yeah, psychologists, you know, who know? People going to use it. No, no, no. Snap out of it. You failed, get up and try all over again. Because God is waiting for you to give you what you need, what you deserve. But you have to acquire it by your own effort. So don't fall. You fail, get up, try again. You fail, try, get up again. Till you make it happen. Without this ego, you can never succeed. If every time you fail, well, human beings will fail many times. You give up, you go against all the rules. So you need the boundary is also about saying, I do deserve. God created me to succeed, not to go around with guilt and blame. And here comes in Numbers 26, verse 1. Vayachre ha-magefa, and it was after the plague. Then there's a space and a new paragraph. And God says to Moses, why is this space? It's the only place in the whole Torah. Remember what we said about the white parchment? How do you remove the plague? And we right now have a plague of depression, a plague of pain, a plague of so much plague. Only with the light of God. You give space for the light of God. Oh, you drive away God from the public space and from your heart. Don't be surprised when things are not going well. You have to bring in God's light into the public space and into your heart. Okay, and now in Parashat Pinchas in the Zohar, Parashat Pinchas, verse 386, there's an amazing article over there. And it says, we don't have time, so I'll read it. You know, okay, we'll read the Aramaic, the original world. Adehavu Azlei, Ata Nishra Ravreva Aschar El Reishayu, Vekaima Alayu, Amar Rabbi Pinchas, Vada Idan Reuta Washta, Ba She'ata Itpatchu Tar'ei Derachamei, לכל עינון בי מראי, והוזמנה לסבטלון, ועל אגב דעינון אסירין דמלכה, דענישרא דא סימנה דרך מאיהו. Translation. As they were walking, Rabbi Shimon and his friends, a big eagle came and was flying in circles above their heads. And you know how eagles, they ride the wind, and like it looks like they're standing, who's standing above them. Amar Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Pinchas, the father-in-law of Rabbi Shimon, said, Vadai, this is a time of goodwill. Now, this is the time that the gates of mercy open up to whoever is on their deathbed. and this is the time to heal them. And although they're the prisoners of the king, because you know, the king of all kings, God Almighty, he doesn't have a prison. He does. It's called bed. When he wants to send people to prison, he makes them bedridden. So you're not supposed to heal people because they are God's prisoners? No. Whenever I fall to bed and I can't move and I have to be, I know, okay, God sent me to prison and I have to ask myself, why am I here? What is that I have to learn? What is the perception that I'm missing? What is the understanding that I have to get to understand in order to keep on living? When you realize it's the only thing that matters, and when you rethink and you finally recalibrate your mind and perception, you heal. And the healing is in this parasha, parasha Pinchas. Kinesher ze, because that eagle, who siman shel rachamim, he is an omen of mercy. Why? Let's go back. A few weeks ago, we spoke about the red heifer. The red heifer is, we said that the ox is a symbol of judgment. The female ox, the cow, is judgment of judgment. Red heifer is triple judgment. Okay? But in the story of the chariot of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 1, it's not only the ox, you have the eagle. The eagle is in the middle, the center. His mercy. What is mercy? Shalom. The synergy between loving kindness and judgment. Kipnei, and that is, what does it mean? That when we read the Zohar of Parashat Pinchas, when we read, when we study, when we scan it, when we delve into it, we contemplate on it, we awaken the time of healing. When we awaken inside us, on one hand, great love and trust in God's purpose and God's creation. On the other hand, the commitment for boundaries for ourselves and for others, the covenant. When we can awaken those two together in synergy, we awaken the power of the eagle. And that is healing. And that's why you have in the Zohar Parashat Pinchas, which is a volume of its own, all the secrets of healing. The inner organs, whatever you need. And this is what this week is about. The judgment is high, but the healing is also high. And the secret is in understanding all of those concepts. Thank you so much. And have healing to everyone who needs it and to our own society.